Per and fluff process. Which I think has some merit to it. In other words, it's my own. So I don't know whether it's Emerson or not, but I think it has some thought. So it almost parallels a little bit the idea which we spoke about, the idea that the Chachamim become a part of the process of Torah. So with that idea in the back, in the backdrop, there's a fascinating one. The Mora says that the pasuk talks about Namatech Aliyas Shachar, which Chazal say that that kapitel was said by Esther. So Aliyas Shachar is that first moment of the morning. So the Medrash says that just like Aliyas Shachar is Sef Halayla, Esther is Sef Kolanisim. So Mora says Chalak of the word. Says Nitin Likosev, etc. So, what's the significance of the fact that Esther is the Soif Kol Nisim? And there was many Nisim which happened afterwards. What's the difference between the Nisim beforehand and the Nisim afterwards? Point number one. Point number two. The Esther really sets in motion, in some sense, the beginning of Binyan Bayis Sheni. With Bayis Sheni was different than Bayis Rishon, because also the Shekhinah wasn't the Bayis Sheni, it was the Bayis Rishon. So obviously there was some element of divine presence there, but whatever Shekhinah means, it wasn't there. So why was Bayis Sheni different than Bayis Rishon in that respect? So you say, well, they didn't do full Shekhinah, but maybe there's another way to understand it. So Hirsch discusses the concept of an ace. See, he says that the word nes, you say davening with nes, the kavitz kol yisaynu, v'asim asol nes. It means a pole. A signpost.
A banner.
He says that the purpose of nisim, the same way you're on a road, and you know, are you sure you're going the right direction? Right. So you have the signs, 95 north, right? So now you know you're going the right direction. Assuming you want to go north 95, or you know you're going the wrong direction. I need to go south, right? But it's very helpful that there's a sign there telling you where you're going. So a person goes to the world, and we need sort of signposts to keep us on the road, keep us in the right direction. So the Bereshit, as it were, puts different things in the history, different events, which sort of act as the signpost to remind us that he's here, there's a purpose to the world, etc. Now, there are nisim and there are nisim. So, I get on the road, and, you know, and I'm traveling north, and I see a sign, and it says 19 times 5 north. It's 95 north, right? 100 minus 14 plus 9 north. It's also 95 north, right? But that's not how you make signposts. You write 95 north. In Bayis Rishon, the Nisim were 95 north. Right. It was so clear and so obvious that it was direct. That's clear. The Bereshit was saying, "I am here." Right? There's a big sign. God was here. Right? You can't mistake it. There are Nisim which happen in the effort of not being Begoli but Benister. Those are 19 times 5 north. 100. Minus 14 plus 9 north, right? You know, you got to sit there and cheshbon it out. At the end of the day, you get the message that we're on the 95 north, but it's not in your face. You have to contribute to the process of interpreting it. So at first glance, that's something negative, right? Whereas in the idea of being begaloi is gavaldic, right? You know, right. 95 north, right? Right. You can imagine something like, I'm not, you know, there is element which is like has this type of, like to push a tamper with the sign, make it, you know, 19.5 north, right? Like, you know, it's got to be someone who's done that somewhere along the way, like these type of things, you know, right? But there's in one way, if a signpost which I have to interpret. Means I'm part of the process. We spoke about the idea that the Chachamim are part of the process of Torah. That's a Maila. In Bais Rishon, it wasn't, Bais Rishon was the Kufa of Nevuah. Everything was clear. We have no Machlokesim in the Torah in Bais Rishon. Bais Rishon, it wasn't like the Chachamim's role. We don't know the names of the Chachamim. We don't see them as being integral to the process. There was a Sanhedrin, there was a clarity, there was a Beis Hamikdash. The Chachamim played much less of a role. And by Sheni, we know their names, we know their shitas, it's their Torah. So they became part of the process. Now the signpost is not obvious anymore. So Esther is the shift from the nais which is benigla to the nais which is benister, which we have to understand what it is. Esther is also the first time we find the Chachamim creating something. They created a Yom Tov. So that's a whole new ball game. We don't have the Chachamim creating something. We know Chazal say that Shlomo Melech was Tikkun Netilas Yadayim, etc. Fine. So that was the colors that they made. But Mitzad, what's being in Tanakh itself, we have recorded a shift. It's not a brush I'm doing anymore, it's us. Kimu Lamala, Mashakibu Lamata. Klai Yisrael created the Yom Tov. And the Rosh Hashanah accepted that. So that's a whole new relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, which we didn't have until now. We are, as it were, driving the relationship. Bais Rishon, the Rosh Hashanah drove the relationship, which means the Rosh Hashanah, as it were, reached out to us. Obviously, we had to be deserving of it, but the Rosh Hashanah, starting from Yetzias Mitzrayim, the Rosh Hashanah says, I am here, I'm taking care of you. I'm here to take care of you. I'm going to give you the Torah. I'm going to bring my Shekhinah to you. I'm going to bring my Shekhinah to you throughout Bais Rishon. I'm going to speak to the Nevi'im. You know, you didn't know where your animals were. No problem. You go to the Nevi'im, and nobody tells you what animals were. Right? You have to say it's a whole different mindset. Because Baruch Hu was like there. So if you look at the relationship between a husband and a wife, the relationship being the husband, Chayes being the husband was reaching out to the wife. Again and again and again and again. The Rosh says, you know what? I'm done. You spat in my face enough times. I'm done. Goodbye. So Chazal say that Klaiso said to Yechezkel Novi that a husband was a Begarish Isha. He has no Tanazinner anymore. There's no claims anymore. In other words, Klaiso's reaction to that was potentially an element of Yish. We know a relationship which we are the passive partner in the relationship. The Russian was the active partner, and he says he's done. And there's no hope. The Russian what in the Scottish is no. Yeah, now it's your job to reach out to me. You are going to be able to have the ability to, as it were, bring the Russian's presence into the world through your actions. I'm not going to put the Shekhinah on the Beis HaMikdash anymore. You're going to create your awareness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu on your own. The husband said, listen, if you are willing to do the effort to reach out to me, we'll have relationships still. If not. It's a whole new ballgame. That ballgame, this new ballgame is very important because this ballgame can exist in Golos. This is a portable ball game. The Bereshit says the first ball game was we're living together in Eretz Yisrael. There's a bias. But there's no bias anymore. We take him wherever we go because we are the ones who are the drivers of the relationship. Wherever we go, we take him with us. So, this is the beginning of the Tekufa of Torah Shebaal Peh. As opposed to Torah Shemiksav. Torah Shemiksav is fitted. Torah Shemiksav is the brush of talking to us. Torah Shemiksav is us talking to Kadosh Baruch Hu. Us, we're going to take the Torah and we're going to figure out. We become an integral part of the process. which is that idea we saw, we spoke about a few weeks ago, that the Rishonim left the Torah open in such a way that there's messages which the Chachamim and the generations will pull that out and create that. So we've been empowered to create something new, which we didn't have before. Or I don't know if they had it before, but that wasn't the Mahalach which was being used in Bayis Rishon. So the Baruch Hashem is in the original Matan Torah, the Baruch Hashem is, as it were, forcing it upon us. It's not we're not the player, we're passive. So there's a couple of Harkigas, the Baruch Hashem saying, listen, you said not to initiate, that's true, but it's not what it's totally in. It's totally, I am coming to you. I'm putting myself on you. And Chazal said that when Klai understood that, the result is that when they quote unquote blew it, so what's it's over. So then I had the hair, if so, which I think is, might be right. So, according to one shot, the more the worse, the matter is, says that the reason why this happened because they were in the enemy, so those shalach is very rich. Right? So now, the story of the Megillah, from that Suda till the story of what happened by in Purim, was a time lapse of about 14 years. So imagine the conversation, right? So this decree comes. They go to Mordechai and said, like, you know, look what you did. Right? You started up with Haman, and look what he did. It's all your fault. He says, no, it's not my fault. It's your fault because you ate from the Suda and you're headed from the Suda. He says, Mordechai, let's get the math right. That happened 14 years ago. Nothing's happened for the last 14 years. Right? Now you started with Haman, it happens. He said, it's our fault? Like, what are you blaming us for? If it was because of us, it would have happened way back when. Right? I'm going to suggest the following. Well, the conversation between Mordechai and the people went like this. What was the time? So, way back when, Mordechai said, don't go to the Suda. They didn't listen to him. They said, it's political suicide not to go to the Suda. The king is making the suit. He's invited everybody, but we're not going to go. Right? He's just going to get a little upset at us. And they went. Now, what was the suit about? The more so, the suit was about Achashverosh was celebrating the fact the 70 years are up. He's living his malchus with this fear that the Jews are going to leave and go back to the Eretz Yisrael and build the base of Mikdash. And there's going to be, as it were, somewhere in the world which is not under his control. Right now, he's living in a world where he's malchus, but the whole world is his. And he's, you know, the good, you know, Mishesh, one of the type of guy, you know. So, you know, he's got a quintillion. Let's see, he wants another quintillion, right? So 126 is not acceptable. It's 127 or bust, you know, right? That the Jews should go back and that there should be some Jews in the Eretz Yisrael, but they should make this intolerable. Chasdei Hashem, I made the cheshbon. Everything is wonderful. Let's celebrate. That's the suda. Chazal's taina wasn't that they went. Chazal was nehena misudah shalach hashverish. You nehena misudah. You enjoyed the meal. You're going to this party, which is celebrating the fact that you're stuck in Golis. You're stuck in Golis. That's it. It's done. There's no more Jewish nation, no relationship, no more basic mikdash. It's all over. I understand you go. You have to go, etc. I get it. But what do you mean? You enjoy it? And the food was geschmack, you know. Says, you know, we celebrate the fact that they killed your mother, right? And, you know, she was the elder, she was the rival for the throne. We just killed her. Let's celebrate. And there's geschmack, a steak. Ah, gewaldig. I mean, really? That's her. What was the taina, Klai Yisrael?
That's like mechalos by.
So, but what's pshat? But what's hakad pshat? The answer is yish. Klai Yisrael accepted Achashverosh's cheshbon. They said, "You're right, hakad, we're done." Klai Yisrael was stuck in a thought process that the husband was megarish the wife, and it's all over. So can talk about the fact they assimilated, they married with Nashim Nachriyos, they pushed it, they were done. They thought that there's no hope. comes 14 years later, and Haman comes along and says, listen, so like, let's understand the deal. So you think, okay, now Sinia Kokologoyim, so we're one of the other nations. Which is no Christ, there's no excessive existence. Either you're mine or you're dead. There's no, there's 126 nations and the Jews are done. There's no option of living like that. But what does that mean? The Rosh Hashanah says, I'm not accepting the fact that you're not mine. So what does Christ do? They on their decide to fast, decide to override Yom Tov. They decide to listen to the Chacham who tells them that we can correct this. And it works. So what he was telling them was that your hanacha, that it's all over, is wrong. What he's saying with hanacha, the person said, I'm going to reach out to you, it's finished. But you can reach out to me. You can recreate the relationship. That I never took away from you. So it's the husband's Megarish Bala, he has no tainas in her, is what they said. It says, lady, stop it. Reach out to your husband and try and reconcile with him. He said, hey, that's interesting. Think of that. And Purim is about that Klai Yisrael reaches out and says, we're going to recommit. It says, wonderful, amen. So it's a whole new relationship. We are now the drivers of the relationship. We get to drive it. That has to be empowering to the nth degree. And that's the simcha. The simcha of Purim is that Klal Yisrael is the one who's kaveya. So that's an extraordinary thing, that Klal Yisrael is the kaveya of the relationship. So, which, and this set in motion by a Sheni, which the Rosh Hashanah doesn't put a Shechina there. It's not just an Oynish. It's almost like a statement. Yeah, the relationship is going to be different now. You're going to be the one who's going to make the relationship. You reach out to me. I'm not going to reach out to you anymore. But yes, there's a way that we can have a relationship. You can have a relationship with me if you do it. So Esther Sef Kolonisim, it's a new relationship anymore. Now the relationship is not 95 north, but 19 times 5 north. You're going to have to figure it out. You're going to be part of the equation. You're going to have to contribute into the math. You have to, right? Okay, so what was the sign? The sign says, it says 127 minus 42 plus 6 minus 7. Okay, figure out what it is. And now you're going to, and now the sign, the message is there. As opposed to the Russians, I'm going to make signposts and make myself, my presence clear. I'm coming to you. I'm going to give you little things along the way, which you are going to work your kishkas out to figure out what the message is, and then you'll see me. So you found me. I think I told you once before that I heard from a person in Muncie, Rabbi Travis, the Mashkeich Manachalot, it's my Tzitz Menach Arakim, right? The pasuk says in Shir Shir, Mashkeich Menachalot, it's my Tzitz Menach Arakim. So the version is Mashkiach Menachalot, he watches from the windows, Mashkiach Menachalot, he peers through the cracks. Right? So he said a moshel like this. Imagine a father sends a child out to the front yard to play. So the kid's playing in the front yard, you know, having a good time, and, you know, he says, oy vey, it's not safe. He looks back and he sees his father standing by the front window, looking out over the yard, keeping an eye on him. So he feels safe, he feels secure. Let's say the child does something wrong. So the father sends the child out into the yard as a punishment. You can't be in the house, you have to go to the yard. The father still loves his child. He's still going to keep an eye on him. But part of the punishment that he shouldn't see the father. He should feel alone. So the father puts the blinds down and he peeks through the crack to keep an eye on him. So the child gets nervous, he looks up, he just sees the shades. The shades are closed. I don't see daddy anymore. And he's scared out of his kishkas. But the level of hashkacha has not changed. He's still watching over the child, just not visible anymore. He says, that's the difference between Mashkeh and Chalonos, we see Tzimra Charekim. That was his mashal that he gave to Mas. It's a gorgeous mashal. But the merchant says, I'm still watching, the Nisim are still there. It means the protection is still there, but you're going to have to figure out how to see me. So you become a greater partner in the process. So Klal Yisrael now is makabel the Torah. It's a new kabbalah satara. Chazal say that really there should have been a new ksav given. There's something given now to represent this, right? That it's a different type of Torah anymore. Even the Torah should be ksav is different. The kabbalah karma, there's a musik of Torah shel peh. We don't have Torah shel peh in Bayis Rishon, as it were. We don't have the names of the chachamim. We don't know the machlokesim and bezdin. We don't know anything. There was Torah. They learned Torah. Of course they learned Torah. Right? They explained, etc. But by Shady, you know, there's an Akvaya, and there's a Shmaya, there's an Avtalia, there's names that are coming. They're part of the process now.
So are you saying that, are you drawing also a parallel between, two things. First of all, in the Nenem Esuz Shachas Virosh, you're drawing a parallel to the Macholos by the Igal Azov.
I'm saying it's the Inyan of Yush.
I'm saying, but that you could say that also, that shows the Yush. They're so vite from it that it's like we're celebrating. It's almost like,
yeah, it could be. I don't know. I never looked at it like that over there. That was the Kud of Yush. It's an interesting possibility to think about.
But we're drawing a parallel between Bais Sheni and Luchashnius, Psolacha.
Theoretically, you could do that. I wasn't going there, okay. That argument, but that's interesting to think about also, yeah.
Same sort of, vis-a-vis Luchos Rishonos,
right.
There's the same
right.
Change of relationship in a certain way.
Right. There was element, there's human element in the process now. So it's a beautiful Svasemis. The Svasemis says like this. He has a Ho'ara, it's Gevaldik Ho'ara. So he says, so the Purim story takes place, and you give him a letter, and they rest on Yudalit, Benoyach. Right? So they celebrated on Yudalit, obviously, right? Now, next year comes. What day would you pick to celebrate? Which day was the Nes? The Nes was your Gimel, right? That's when they had a war and they won the war. So we should Purim should be your Gimel, not your Yudalit. Yudalit was a day. It was the day after the. So, like, there, what?
I'm guessing that he connects it to Shabbos because that's when you see the whole picture. I don't know
anyway,
that's
Svasemis. Oh, okay.
Because
everything
is connected to Shabbos.
Yeah, because everything is connected to Shabbos. He says something else. It's like this. He said that they woke up to the world of Yudalit, and something happened in the world of Yudalit. Amalek's influence in the world has been not eradicated totally, but it's been diminished. Amalek. Chazal say, the Medrash talked about, etc., the Targum Sheni, Moloch denied the Russians' presence in the Bria. They believed in Mikra, they believed that anything which they couldn't explain, they just said, it's a good question, but they had a logical explanation for everything in the world, leaving Russia out of the picture. Moloch has been weakened. And not just the bodies, means the attitude, the influence has been weakened. They woke up the next morning and they said, the Bereshit is so clear. He says, you know what? It means all these years, the reason why we didn't see Kadosh Baruch Hu the way we see him now is because Amalek affected us. So we want nothing to do with Amalek's culture, attitude, etc. So the destruction of Amalek was on Yudalit, not the bodies. But the influence of Amalek, the attitude, the culture, the society, the influence, the impact that they had on the Jewish thought process, and the Jews' thought process, that happened on Yudalit. So in Yudalit, we got a Kadosh Baruch Hu back. We're able to see that there's nothing as Mikra. Everything is there, Kadosh Baruch Hu. Everything is, we're able to find the Kadosh Baruch Hu again. That's what happened in Yudalit. They realized how much negativity they had absorbed from, you know, you finally get out of this, the negative relation, the people which are giving you negativity, and you became a positive person again, right? You know, right? They removed all of this societal, you know, explaining everything, and there's, you know, the explanations of everything. Reuben Grodzowski once said that what destroyed America was the radio. He said, why? He said, you know, listen to this. What?
Baseball.
He says, you know, something would happen, people would see God. You know, the few upper Carson who didn't, you know, that now something happens, the radio says, well, and we have the social economic plan of why it happened, and the commentary, social commentary for all sides, why it happened. And they bombard you why it happened. No God. That's what undermined America. That's what he said. This is the 50s. Because everything they have to explain. That's their job. And the explanations are science and social and economic. You know, no God. That's a Moloch. We killed out all of the radio announcers on your Gimel. Welcome to what you dialed. There's no radio announcers anymore. And you know what? There's a God. That's what they're celebrating on your dialed. I mean, it's overstating it, but and not that I'm not some tempted sometimes, you know, anyway. But, you know, like, will you stop it? Like, you know, like, everything has to be explained. It's fascinating. I'm this ball. Something happens, and within hours, there's articles written to explain what your opinion is, analysis. You know, they have analysis with the election results, and they predict what's going to be. And what's going to this and that? Like, everything's explained. The reason why it happened is because of this, that, other. They're guiding him. They're going to guide him. Or they're idiots. Like, you need time to absorb something. You see where it's going, the patterns, understanding. And the society reads them. They absorb it. And God is out of the picture. It's like God, you know. So it says what we're celebrating is not the physical. That, because that wasn't their issue. The issue was they were living in a world where they felt abandoned by Kodesh Baruch Hu. The message of danger was the wake-up call that the Rosh says, I'm not going to live like this. You don't have an option of as it were, abandoning the Torah and living like the Goyim. Either you're going to be with me or you're not going to exist. And that wake-up call and the danger allowed them to say, wait, we do have a relationship with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. So the simcha of Yudalit is they're makabel the Torah again. But they're makabel the Torah, and that's so empowering. So kimo the malam, ashikimo the mat. The person says, "I'm maskim," which you get to define the relationship. That's awesome. So we're celebrating Yudalit every year. That's what the Sfasema says.
I think it's interesting that Dafka, the day of the Menucha, is when they appreciated it. Mm-hmm. Like Vinoah, if they couldn't appreciate the day they were killing Amalek, you take a step back and think about it. I think you can connect that to Shabbos too. That's the day you appreciate the creative. Meaning you have to be a step removed to appreciate.
Correct.
That's the Vinoach, and that's why we appreciate the creation of the world also on the seventh
day. Very much, I think
you
so.
Yeah, that seventh day to. I'm surprised he wouldn't have connected it to Shabbos. That's the same idea.
He doesn't connect to the Shabbos.
It's the same idea with the Noach.
Right. But I think the mushal I see it is you woke up the next day.
During the action.
And there's no more newspapers explaining everything.
Right. You need to be a step removed to think for yourself a little.
Right.
Kind of.
And that allowed them to see, like, wow, how negative it was, how much it impacted us negatively, the influence, the subtleties which we didn't pick up, how much it's affecting us, the attitude, and we've been cleansed from it. That's how he teaches it. It's a fascinating teach. So you know, just I think it's a little bit of a window into the Purim. Maybe it's a new window into the Purim story a little bit. Purim. So I found Rav Moshe Shapiro in one of his shurim. He says that, you know, it says bias reached and the relationship was built on the bias. And from this point onward, it's not built on a bias. So I can hang my hat on, you know, McCain, right. This Nakuda, you know, he's not saying everything that I'm saying, but this Nakuda, that bias Rishon, was a relationship between the Kodesh Baruch Hu and us, which was Rishon driven. And by Shein, there's talking about a bias anymore. The Shein doesn't come to the bias. But that's not a negative. Because that's what allows that there could be a by Shein, there's going to be a Churban afterwards. It's not going to last. So how do we keep Kadosh Baruch Hu? If it's going to be bias driven again, we're done. Klai Yisrael in Galus Bavel fell apart in 70 years. They married Nashim Nachrios, etc. We're holding 1900 years. Plus, you know, yes, that school has been difficult, but it took 1700 years before it started falling apart. That's a pretty good track record compared to the biased region. You know, the contrast between the relationship of Kadosh Baruch Hu and the Bais Rishon to the depth of despair that they had after the Churban didn't happen in Bais Sheni. But that's the Poshup shot. But what I'm saying right now is a different Nakuda. Bais Rishon, it was a Bershom driven, so they fell apart because where's the Bershom? He's not here. He's not reaching out to us anymore. Bais Sheni was us. We were the ones who were the drivers. We didn't lose that ability to drive. When we got in the Golos, we still can create a relationship with Kadosh Baruch Hu wherever we go. So it's portable. So the Baruch Hashem, as it were, set in motion a process which will allow us to exist wherever we go. The Welt says, you know, says, why were Jews always violinists? Because you can take your violin with you when you run away from the goyim. You can't take your piano with you. You know, you're back, you know. Right? The violin you can take with you, you know.
The harmonica, it's even better.
Right? The Jew harp. The harmonica was called the Jew harp, right?
Is that right?
Right, that's the harmonica with a Jew harp, right?
I never heard that. But...
Never heard that? Oh, come on, you guys, you have don't know any history. What can I do? Like, you know, I recently said something to someone. I mentioned Xantippe to somebody, and they came like, "Who's Xantippe?" So, like, you know, do I feel antiquated or something? Like, what's wrong with me? Like,
who was Xantippe?
Socrates' wife.
Really?
It's just Socrates.
I know that.
Xantippe.
What did she do?
She was a shrew. But she was such a shrew that there's a word in the dictionary, uppercase X, spelled with X, but it's pronounced Xantippe. So uppercase X stands for her name, and lowercase X means a woman who's a shrew. She made it to the dictionary. She's like, she was such a shrew, she made it to the dictionary. Never, okay. I don't know. Like, I mentioned something like, I feel like, you know, like I was like, you know, he's well read. He says, who's Xantippe? Like, why do I feel like weird? I also had something else I just mentioned on somebody recently. I said a line to somebody and they gave me this, like, what's that? I don't know. Okay. I got sidetracked. So the. What?
David has
that
effect on people.
Don't blame David. I get sidetracked very easily. That's part of my challenges. It comes with ADD. I have a Talmud who has ADD. The full title is ADHD. Attention Deficit Hey Donuts. You know, order donuts. Like, you know. Okay. Lack of sleep creates the same type of brain pattern, brain waves as ADD. So I have one or the other. I don't know which one I have, but I have one or the other. So I think that if you take this thought process a step further, right? That so there's a mitzvah per madal yoda. So, the Gaon says that the Adal Yoda is connected to the Eitz Hadas. Because Eitz Hadas is Tev Ra, right? So we say Adal Yoda, we don't want the Eitz Hadas Tev Ra. So, Rishon Salanter said on that the way he looks at Adal Yoda is the following. He says that we do good things, but partially we do good things because the thought process of the human being compels us to do the right thing. But that the natural instinct of man is for toiv, we're not convinced that that's true. But a human being is not like that. But you have to believe that a human being can create a level of kedusha in his body that his natural instinct will be for toiv. And the way you can test that is by getting drunk. So if you're pure, what will come out will be pure things. And if you're not, what will come out will be other things. So Yisrael used to get very drunk in Purim. Very drunk to the point that, you know, that he lose self-control. So that was very significant, because you understand this, that Yisrael Salanter was one of the biggest goyim of his generation. The Brisker Rav, the Rav Chaim Brisker put Yisrael Salanter on par in brilliance with the Maror Diskin. Now, the servants of the Maror Diskin are like off the charts. Maror Diskin could look at a building and tell you how many bricks are in the building. He could look at a tree and tell me how many leaves are on a tree. The Maror Diskin, when he moved from Brisk to Yerushalayim, the Gedal Yerushalayim asked him to say a shir. So he said a shir for the Gedal Yerushalayim. I mean, the biggest guy in Yerushalayim came to his shir. He started the Tosfos Mabasa Daf Beis Amud Aleph. There's a big Tosfos Lefikach. He said shir for 6 months on that one Tosfos, beginning of the Kvetras, right? Six, you know, these people knew Kol Torah Kula, and he was leading them through a thought process which took 6 months. Yisrael Salanter was on the same darga as that. Yisrael Salanter, as much as he was a nigla, people knew his Talmud Chacham, they had no idea what his level was, except on Purim. Because on Purim he had no self-control. So the Talmidim would actually like discuss anything with him on Purim. Anywhere in Kol Torah Kula, in Nigla and Nistar, Kabbalah, Gemara's, Halacha, and he was lying on the ground like drunk, being Masber, you know, difficult Tosis. That's what came out when he was drunk. There was one of the darling was there when it happened one time. He says, "I'd be scared to get drunk like that. I'm not sure what will come out of me when I get that drunk. I don't know what's deep down inside of me, but you know, right? But yourself was pure. So what came out was pure." It was terror. It was all the hidden things that he had that nobody knew. He couldn't hide himself in Purim. Right? But we know that the Bali Musa say that Ayur Pera Adam Yivoleh. You have to create that. But that's vital to this Nakuda that we create. We're not limited by the reality. We can make ourselves better. We can make ourselves more pure. We can reach out to Kadosh Baruch Hu. We can take the goof and make it a kli for Torah. That to the point of the goof, the kli is also kaddish. That the goof, that human being is Torah. So the Mora says that Kama Tipshi, these people that they stand up for Tipshi, they stand up for Talmud Chacham. Right? More makas. It says the Torah says you have 40 makas. Kama Chacham says only 39. It means they're more powerful than the Torah. So Kama Tipshi, these people, they don't stand up for the Talmud Chacham. What's the word saying? The Talmud Chacham is part of the process now. He's not mi bachutz. He's mi bifnim. He's part of the intrinsic into the process. He's Torah. But that right to have that claim is not intellectual. It's because you've connected to the Kedusha HaTorah. And that's what Yisrael is saying, that the Adol Yoda is how much we've connected. The connection to the Torah means that the person has changed, that the goof has changed. See, without the Das, I'm still pure. So I think that's, you know, which, because always have this very strange mitzvah, the Adol Yoda. So that's what I'm suggesting. Put that, I had a different shot in Adol Yoda. Maybe a different shot. That's the end of that thought process. So, right. I'll share with you a different thought process that I had about Adol Yoda from a different angle totally. Rabbi Ruchim says, we say in Agada, you go through the Ten Makas, and you go through the Dayenu and the whole thing, and if a person does it right, there's this upswelling of a feeling of a curse of to Kadosh Baruch Hu. The fichach and nadach hayavim lahoidus lahalo l'shaberch the fur the roimer lahadil lavarech alale lakeles the misha also lavasinim lasedus kol nisim lalo. The son of Miabus the cheres miyagan the simcha mefeil the ora meshiva the gola. I remember the fun of shachadasha haluka. So there's a strange part of that phrase paragraph. It's a beautiful paragraph. I mean, like, wow. Because of all this, we're mechuyav to be all these languages of praise to Kadosh Baruch Hu, thanks, etc. Says Lemi shasala. Where's Kadosh Baruch Hu's name in the paragraph?
Lemi shasala
v'senu lavu. It's called Nisim lavu. Lashem Elokeinu lamakim Kadosh Baruch Hu. Right, you know, we have names of the God, Amakim Baruch Hu, like Baruch Amakim Baruch Hu, El Hashem, like what, Lemi, to the one. So Rabbi Yerucham says, Hakaras HaTayiv is an instinct in the human being. When I take away the feelings of that I have a right to it, entitlements, and I take away the feelings that it wasn't good enough, and I take it all the way, and I feel Hakaras HaTayiv, it's instinctive to want to give back. I don't have to make cheshem. Well, since it was Yankel did it for me, I'll give back. If it was Beryl, I wouldn't.
Whoever it was.
Misha. It's Kadosh Baruch Hu. But whoever it was. But what the paragraph is trying to tell you, the instinctive reaction when you receive something is to feel thankful and feel gratitude and want to give something back. Not based on cheshbonus. There's no. I don't need a yada over here to figure it out. It's instinctive. So, the first year I was here, I was teaching eighth grade together with Beis Medrash. So I took the boys on eighth grade graduation trip. So it was 18 boys. So we split up into two. Had a 15 seater van, and one of those the Astro vans, like the 8 seater vans. So to the loggers, and that we got everybody in, right. So I was driving the 15 seater with Nisano Landisman as a chaperone. Also, I needed, you know, and Dr. Irving Haber was driving the other van because Avi was in the class. Avi was in that class. Jacob Goodman, David Augenbaum, that was Shai Katz. The Yehuda Malka, that was that class. Yeah. Huh. Okay, a few years ago. This is they finished eighth grade in 1998, and they graduated in 2002. So you do the math, okay? All right. You'll figure out how old they are, but that's not my business. So I was driving north on the 95 on the Jersey Turnpike. I was in the left lane. What? Not times five. Not times five. Yeah. Don't mess it up, please. You know, don't get the math wrong.
Try it.
All right. David will give you more complicated calculations the way to do it. I was almost 75. I was in the left lane. I had the saddle next to me. I was driving, and the boys were behind me. It started to rain lightly. So that's like the worst, most dangerous time because like it's very, very. A minivan went into a skid and went like this, broadside in front of me. The sandal screamed the Shema. I mean, that's how that, you know, it's like, it's all over, you know. He screamed Shema, right? We made it through, you know. I didn't have ABS on the van, but, you know, Baruch Hashem. It was interesting because the boys were pushing the driver for the other van should be like a senior. Like a very responsible senior. So that's not the issue. You understand that there's years of driving which allowed you to have instincts. You can't, if I would have slammed the brakes, it would be horrible. But you have enough experience. I can't think that through. You have milliseconds to make a decision. Right? It's instinct. You know, you pump the brakes and you get, and so I pumped the brakes. I found a space on the shoulder to go around. You know, I was able to. And it's behind us. The kids in the back didn't know anything happened. The kids in the front were like, you know, like traumatized. The kids in the back were like, you know, playing, you know, like, you know, nothing, clueless. But I remember thinking, you know, like at that moment, like you were given a gift of life. When you're almost about to lose life, you start appreciating life. Otherwise, you don't appreciate life. You just don't appreciate it. The most valuable commodity in the world is air. When you appreciate air, you're scuba diving, and the tank is running out quicker than you expected. All of a sudden, the air is very, very valuable. Right? But till then, it's not. Well, what's more valuable than air is life. Now imagine the person is driving a bus, not a van. And in the van is his wife and his kids and his parents, everybody that he loves. So it's not just a matana of life for himself that he got back. It's for everybody who's near and dear to him. That was Haman. Haman said, all of the known world is under Ahasuerus. All the Jews in the world are all under Ahasuerus. And they're all going to die. That's the oxygen tank. We're all underwater, and all our tanks are about to run out. And we got the matana of life back for all of Klal Yisrael. So what's your reaction? There's an outpouring of Koros HaTov to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, appreciating the most valuable gift that you have, which is life. I don't need Yada to figure that out. I don't need to make it. Now I'm happy. Now I'm thankful. The natural instinct is to want to give back to Purim. That's lo yada. Purim is a day that you do not want to say that the reason why I feel good about it is because I can figure it out. That's what happened in Purim. We saw the enemy arraigned against us, which they're going to kill out, big signs, kill Jews, right? That was, you know. And all of a sudden we got our lives back. But there's something more valuable than life. That life should have a purpose. That we have a relationship with the Kosh Baruch Hu, because we'll give up our life for that. And they got that back also. And that's tying this word back to the first word. So the feeling of a Kosh Baruch Hu was so extraordinary that the Mechabal told me I was an ace. Because look what I got. I can't deny that gift called life and called purposeful life and life with a relationship with Kosh Baruch Hu, that the greatest being which exists cares about me, is interested in me, and wants a relationship with me. I cannot deny it anywhere. It's in my face. I don't need any cheshbonos to figure that out. It's obvious. It's Adol Yoda. I don't need a Yoda for that. That's not Adol Yoda. Why there's this mitzvah Adol Yoda? That's what I want to suggest. So, okay.